News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And a good morning, everyone. It's El Paso History Radio Show, as always on a Saturday. Locked in the closet here, but having a good time because the air conditioning is working. And Rick Kern is here. Good morning.
Buenos dias, senor.
That means hello. Work with me
you
here.
Know, man. You
my
know.
My Spanish is about one word long, but I do appreciate it. So thank you for being here, Mr. Rick. You're subbing for Melissa Sargent, who is out on the range.
Yes, she is. Day of the Cowboy.
Day of the Cowboy. She's out there doing her thing at 10 a.m. right now. They're kicking it off with a flag ceremony in Anthony, Texas, and it's the Richard C. White Park, and it's a very big deal because the Cowboy is something that needs to be recognized. I just wish they picked a different day than the third Saturday in July.
I know, man.
All across the country to do this. Let's see how many people survive the rest of it. But they're going to be out there all day, and we'll ask her to call in a bit and explain some of that to us. And so that's the Day of the Cowboy, Anthony, New Mexico. No, Anthony, Texas.
Yeah.
There's a difference. And that crowd out there is cranking up now. All right, we got radio going on here. As always, Texas history begins in El Paso, and we do that because it's true. And there's another thing we do. We find this, obviously, on 690 AM KTSM, but where else, Mr. Rick?
Well, you can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and guess what? You're all over the planet listening to this show.
We got some people, I'm pretty sure, in Colorado today. I know in California, some on the East Coast. It'd be kind of fun. And, oh, we're going to have the trivia questions as always, right?
Exactly.
Got stuff to give away right there. Look what you got.
Yeah, we got some neat stuff here. Actually, Pepe's in Canutillo, great restaurant. We got $20 food coupons, and they've got a choice for that, or they can get one of your cool DVDs here, and we've got Ghost Stories of El Paso Volume 3, Ghost Stories of El Paso Volume 2, and Gunfighters of the Old West.
I got to get some more to bring in here. I get my brother to make me some more of those and bring them in here.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I get them. He deals with that now. All right, so that's going to happen. Second hour also, we got Pepe's Food, etc. Let's talk about the history of the day here, because today we decided it would be interesting to take a look about 100 years ago, what was going on. We were following Pancho Villa and the Mexican Revolution. We got him to raid Columbus in March 100 years ago. And after that, we just really haven't talked about what happened to the dude and what happened when they started chasing him. So I got to thinking, why don't we do a radio show about what happened in the Mexican Revolution after the Columbus raid 100 years ago? Pancho continued to outrun General Pershing, and then what happened? So we decided to ask El Paso historian David Romo to join us and explain this history. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Since you sat here last time, you ended up being a PhD, did you not?
A PhD, I guess you can, yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Well, and congratulations, because I think that's hard work.
Yeah, there's a joke that now you can call me doctor, and in Spanish it's porque cuando me miran se curan, and I guess the Spanish speakers will understand.
She's laughing already. I see how that works.
It's kind of an inside joke, I guess.
So it goes. Well, welcome here, Dr. David Romo, to help explain the history. Also, there is another historian we have access to this morning, and he actually used to live in El Paso and was part of our world here. He lives in California now, but we're going to talk to him anyway by phone. Good morning, Elias Bonilla.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
How are you all? Good.
We're doing good. Now, we're going to have to work with you on that phone, but as long as you can hear us, we'll be patient with you. Now, I haven't seen you in a while, but you moved to California. How you doing?
Doing fine. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm feeling good, and the girls are taking good care of me out here in Sacramento.
Excellent. I understand you're related to some of those girls out there as well, your daughter. Well, you have a story to tell us about Oscar Leeser. Let's hold off on that for about a half an hour, because I know that's an interesting story. But let's get into the meat of this whole thing, because I asked Dr. Romo to come in this morning and explain generally what was going on. So, Elias, feel free to contribute and jump in. We'll do the best we can hearing you on the phone. But let's ask David Romo now about to give us sort of an overview. We have this Mexican Revolution. Pancho raided Columbus, and then he took off.
Right. Yeah, there's, I mean, that the Columbus Raid is what is best known, I think, in the United States about the Mexican Revolution, but there's a lot more to it. I mean, the Mexican Revolution was the first major social revolution of the 20th century, before the Russian Revolution, before any other major revolution. And really, El Paso and Juarez was the center. We're always told that we're kind of this landlocked port in the middle of nowhere. Nothing important happens here.
That's wrong.
The most important event of the 20th century in terms of a revolutionary moment didn't begin in El Zócalo, the main square in Mexico City where everybody goes. And even today, the hundreds of thousands of people go there. That's what grabs all the attention. It took place in the so-called periphery, in this little town of El Paso and Juarez, that actually was a very important focal point. Why do you think, Jackson? Why do you think El Paso and Juarez was so important?
Well, Pancho Villa was a flamboyant dude, but he was also the only guy that I'm aware of that attacked the United States since the British burned the White House.
Well, you know, Pancho Villa, let's go back a little bit. I mean, Pancho Villa had worked in El Paso way back in 1909.
He was a friend of ours at one point, from what they were saying.
Absolutely. He actually protected American interests in the way that some of his rivals, such as Carranza, did not. And so he felt very betrayed when the United States recognized his rivals and what turned to be a civil war. But to get back to Pancho Villa, of course, he was from the north. Most of the revolutionary leaders were from the north. They were not Chilangos. They were not from Mexico City. So who were they? Madero, from the Coahuila area. You have Carranza as well, another fronterizo.
Correct. Huerta was from where?
Well, Huerta was not a revolutionary.
He was
known as the usurper, right? Yeah. He's the one that helped assassinate Madero. But all the major revolutionary leaders, except for perhaps Zapata, come from the north. So that's the question. Why? Why is it that the U.S.-Mexico border is so important? Because it's not like the Russian Revolution or the French Revolution. Where was that start? The storming of the Bastille, Paris,
but
right?
This was over land, was it not?
A lot of it was. You know, what Porfirio Díaz, he was the dictator of Mexico for more than 30 years, and he was the cause of the revolution. What he was doing is that he was displacing a lot of the people, especially some of the Yaqui communities in the north and other indigenous and poor communities, and giving away the land to mostly foreign, you know, U.S., British interest corporations.
How big a ranch did Randolph Hearst have in Mexico?
Oh, my God.
It's the biggest one over there. Like a million acres or something.
Probably as big as some of the small countries in Europe, right?
Yeah.
So that was the thing. Porfirio Díaz was displacing people in the name of what he saw as progress,
right.
But it was a top-down type of progress. It wasn't one that was including the people in the bottom.
So you just bring in an American bunny to displace the peasants.
Yeah, exactly. Take the Yaquis, ship them out because they were resisting. Put them in what virtually slave camps.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you know, had to work as slaves or die there. And so people started revolting. You know, they were saying, you're taking away our own country from us. You had a boulevard in Mexico City that it was beautiful. You know, Porfirio Díaz was bringing all this kind of European architecture. But anybody that was wearing huaraches or white pants like the Indians could not go to that boulevard. So that was the thing that was going on. Porfirio Díaz was bringing in so-called progress.
Yeah.
But it was progress that wasn't including most of the people. So once again,
here comes Pancho.
I ask you,
well, that was ripe for Pancho Villa to turn into the revolutionary that he did.
Right. So why El Paso? Why El Paso and Juarez? Why is it so important?
Let me take a shot at that, because I think basically all the facilities they needed were here to start a revolution. They had all
of the
arms, all of the politics. They had sympathy from the United States. Oh, look at this. A cute little revolution is forming. Oh, it's happening in El Paso. And they trained in El Paso, and they bought stuff in El Paso, and they figured out the revolution in downtown El Paso buildings.
Right.
That's where they figured out the whole revolution.
Oh, man. There's about 100 buildings. They're still up. A lot of them have been torn down, but there's still buildings up that have fascinating stories to tell about the Mexican Revolution.
And it's not just the Trost buildings. Although
is
the Trost buildings.
You know,
because some of these buildings that Pancho was in were trust buildings.
Right. And in South El Paso, for instance, the first major novel of the Mexican Revolution, Los de Abajo, by Mariano Azuela, was written in what are the Pablo Baray apartments, 609 South Oregon. And I know the city did a study, and they said that that's not the original place. I've done original research myself, going to the original sources. I have photographs of it. during that time. So it's that building where the major novel, The Mexican Revolution, by Mariano Azuela, translated in 25 languages, was written.
You realize there's a building survey coming for all of those buildings down there.
Right,
for
right.
What is their history? What is their prominence?
Right.
Make sure that this gets in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are so many buildings in South El Paso that have just fascinating stories.
So what is your take? I mean, I thought it was because of all the facilities were here that they needed to do a revolution.
All right.
Am I right?
So basically, it goes back to one of the things that you're looking at, Camino Real. You have the north-south, the railways that connect Mexico City to the border and go up towards Santa Fe. And then you have the east-west, you know, the Pacific that goes, you know, one direction, Dallas, what have you, Austin, and the other, well, not Austin at that time, but mostly towards California. So it was a wonderful place for smuggling, for propaganda. A lot of the major intellectuals were fleeing Mexico and Porfirio Diaz. They were fleeing the dictatorship, and they would end up in little buildings like this place where the El Paso del Norte newspaper publishes the first novel of the revolution. So all these buildings were used as presses. They were there every, you know, John Reed, he was this radical journalist from New York, wrote for the masses. He wrote the book, Ten Days That Shook the World. Warren Beatty played him in a movie called Reds.
Uh-huh.
He comes to El Paso. He says, in every single little hotel and bar, it's a plotting ground. You know, people are trying to plot the overthrow of the Mexican government. It's the hotel of the conspirators of the world.
That's true. The Sheldon Hotel had that going on.
Exactly.
The Camino.
Exactly.
So Paso del Norte at the time.
You have espionage. You have a wonderful place to recruit soldiers.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, this is the largest city with a Mexican, ethnic Mexican population at that time. So you have a wonderful place to recruit, to do propaganda. This is the center of the Mexican Revolution for all those reasons.
Let's get a take from Elias. You're listening to all this. I take it, Elias. Do we have Elias with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this? So you're hearing what David Romo and I are discussing.
Hello, Elias. Yes. First of all, good to hear from you again.
Let me, first of all, congratulate David on getting his PhD. I'm proud of you, guy.
Thank you, Elias.
Wonderful. You know, I really think, though, the conversation started at Columbus and is going forward. But my God, there was so much interesting stuff that went on before that, and that a lot of it had El Paso connections.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, name a few if you like. You had the Gringos Curve massacre. What else?
Well, the Santa Isabel massacre was one.
Right.
Those 17 American miners.
That wasn't in El Paso, though, right? That was in Santa Isabel, Chihuahua. But it
right.
had connections. Yes.
That's the one I'm referring to. That I read a book called Gringo's Curve, and that's what the
right.
book was about.
And that happens in 1916.
Right.
That's one of the darkest periods of borderlands history, maybe U.S. history, but maybe we can talk more about.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Elias.
One of the things that's never been thoroughly covered has been, where was Villa while Pershing had his men out looking for him?
Mm-hmm.
And my version of it is that Villa had been in a skirmish with the Carrancistas, and he had taken a bullet through his right calf. The
mm-hmm.
bullet did not break the shin bone, but rather tore the tissue up. He goes to an area very close to Parral in Chihuahua City, where he knew the territory very well. He had three men who took care of it. I'm getting very poor reception. I'm sorry.
Well, if you want to call us back, Elias, that'll be fine, because we'd like to hear from you. Maybe
okay.
That's not the best phone line, and we are hearing some noise. Are you near an airport? Is that the other thing I'm hearing, a jet going by?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Okay, so get under the bed, call us back, and we'll call. We got to take a break anyway, because after this,
right.
we're gonna talk about trivia. Elias Bonilla on the phone from California, Sacramento being what it is. We thank you for getting up an hour early to join us here in El Paso. But Elias Bonilla has been on this radio program a number of times. talking about things in the Mexican Revolution. So I'm glad to hear you're doing better out there. Give us a call back after the break, Elias, and we'll talk some more. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, you take it easy. You got Dr. David Romo here in the meantime. David, we're going to take a break here and do some trivia. So
sounds good.
You may hear some of your thoughts coming out in the trivia questions. Here we go. You ready? As it is, Rick Kern, you've been kind of quiet over there. I know we've been dominating this, but we'll get into your discussion
that's
here in
fine.
A bit.
I'm enjoying listening to all this.
Well, there's a lot to it here, and definitely the whole idea of El Paso and the history and the border is just fascinating. Also, before we get to the trivia, I want to thank one of our major sponsors, Ray Baca. He's Monterey Properties Management. You remember Ray Baca from high school over here? Some of us do. Well, Ray is with a management company, but Ray's also in a commercial. Have you seen Ray in a commercial? There's a commercial for a laundry and cleaners where the grandfather and then the son and then the grandson are each waiting on a customer individually. Ray Baca is one of those customers. So watch that commercial for whatever it is, cleaners, and you'll see our friend. He's the sponsor of the show, so we're going to suck up to him. Anyway, most recent El Paso Gold DVD vendors and their locations, Los Portales Museum in San Elizario and Johnson Jewelers on North Mesa. So, Rick, also we got a deal for our radio audience, right?
Yeah, we really do. Let me get over here to it.
And we should also warn Pepe. We're thinking of coming out to lunch at Pepe's today. If you can make it to lunch, we'll buy you lunch. But that's David Romo I'm pointing to, not the whole audience. Okay?
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, Pepe's has a really neat deal called the Radio Free Salsa Sampler.
That's it.
Yeah, and all you got to do is go in there and ask for it. There's a picture on our Facebook page that basically it shows the tray with a bowl of chips and four bowls of different Pepe's special sauces. And the regular salsa that is always free, but the radio free sampler contains chips and salsa, chili con carne, chili con queso, red enchilada and salsa, and green enchilada salsa.
They give you a pile of chips, and you sit there and eat it. Now, if he's smart, he'll make you order first, because otherwise you eat this, you won't want to order.
You won't want to, exactly.
But you can sample everything in the restaurant through this sampler and see what you think of the place.
You want to make sure and let them know that you heard it on the radio.
Oh, that's the whole point of the radio free
sampler.
Yeah. Okay. To the trivia at hand, dude. What do you got?
All right. Well, who was the U.S. president during the Mexican Revolution?
Now, how hard? Don't say it. We know some people in the room know this. We're trying to give away this stuff. What do we got? We got the DVD or Pepe's food.
Yeah, $20 worth of Pepe's food coupons.
So the question is,
who was the U.S. president during the Mexican Revolution?
One main guy for the duration.
Well, can I just interrupt?
We'll take a second answer.
Okay.
Can you have your second answer if somebody says it?
Just to specify the question, because there were actually two.
That's what I thought you were going to say. But who was the guy for the longest duration?
Okay, no. I won't say it. But
David Romo, if they give the second answer, we'll take it, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, well, how'd they find? Oh, also, look at us on Facebook. El Paso History Radio Show, we had over 5,000 people or so looking at this across the country during the week. We've got a specialist in here named Evelyn Casara who is looking at this now. So if indeed you had something come in, she will see it and tell me. So get on Facebook and tell us your comments or your thoughts. Right? Fair enough? Okay, now let's get out of here with this by saying the phone number.
Yes, the phone number is 544-KTSM, 544-587-6915.
Yeah, if you're out of town, put that 915-544.
544-5876.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
If you want to be successful at your job, you have to have an advantage. At El Paso, HelpWanted.com, our advantage is the hometown advantage. The advantage local people have when they work where they live. Nobody connects them with local hometown employers better than we do. And nobody has a better selection of local job openings either. Jobs with that hometown advantage. Apply online today and put it to work for you. El Paso HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision. like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Save time and money by downloading TrueCar's mobile app. Configure the new car you want, see what others paid for it, and get guaranteed savings. TrueCar users save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Save time and money. Download the TrueCar app today.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
I've never seen anything like it.
Such an incredible experience.
The biggest spectacle.
Really incredible.
Our iHeartRadio Music Festival.
The great thing about being able to perform at the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
All different artists.
Diversity of the lineups.
It's like from country to pop.
Man, there is nothing like it.
Score tickets before the lineups release.
This show rocks the most people.
Download our free iHeartRadio app and enter keyword September in the search tab for a chance to win.
iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Listen for this year's lineup Monday at 7 a.m.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got the lines are full. We're going to talk to a lot of people here, apparently. Let you know about the Museum and Cultural Affairs Department. They have named a new leader of the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And the City of El Paso Museums and Cultural Affairs Department is pleased to announce that Jeffrey K. Romney will be assuming leadership of the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And Romney was selected following a big-time search going on. And he's been with the city for a while. And first time in 7 years, the museum will have a dedicated leadership person to provide a clear focus. And Jeff comes from, he was the director of development at the Museum of Art in El Paso. Extensive background in anthropology. And I believe he grew up in Colonia Juarez in Mexico.
How about that?
How about that? What do you got?
El Paso Archaeological Society featured speaker on August 20th, 2016, 2 p.m., My Ancestors, the Manso, by Cruz Camargo. Cruz Camargo, an El Pasoan, businessman and descendant of the indigenous Manso tribe of the El Paso region, shares his heritage and details of the life his people lived before the arrival of the Spanish in this area. His presentation, My Ancestors, the Manso, arranged by the El Paso Archaeological Society, is at 2 p.m. on Saturday, as I just said, August 20, 2016. The presentation is free, it's open to the public, and takes place at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, 4301 Trans Mountain Road.
Fair enough. Good stuff there for that, and that's coming up in August. I've talked to Cruz Camargo. I've interviewed him a couple of times. Very nice man. Last of the Mohicans, so to speak, last of the Mansos, literally. So, okay, what's at hand here, Rick? We got to do some giveaway things here?
Yeah, let's do that. We've got actually $20 worth of food coupons at Pepe's, and we also have one of Jackson's great videos here, Gunfighters of the Old West and Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 2 and Volume 3.
Those are different videos. If you're not sure what that's about, check them out. All right, going to the phones as we do here, going to Sharon. In order they call. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Sorry?
Well, thanks for being here. Do you have a...
Thank you.
Rick, go ahead and restate the question again, if you would.
Yeah. Who was the U.S. president during the Mexican Revolution?
Drum roll.
Woodrow Wilson.
Hey. That would be the answer that we were asking. Now, David Romo says there was a second one, if you had said...
Of course, Taft.
Taft had been... We would have taken that, but that's too late. You already got this. Now, we got some callers behind you. If you don't mind, we're going to go ahead and ask them the next questions, all right?
Okay.
Sharon, you got your choice here of either the Pepe's or the DVDs. Pick a DVD. You got Gunfights or Ghost Story 2 or Ghost Story 3?
Pepe's? We want to go to Pepe's.
You betcha. Pepe's. You got $20 worth of Pepe's ready for it. And stay on the phone here. Shelley Sutherland.
Thank you.
She'll come on the line and tell you how to pick this up, all right?
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, hold on. Thank you. Don't go away. Don't go away. I sometimes get rid of people unnecessarily, but smart ones call back and they get their prize. Shelley, we got a prize there. Okay, moving on to line three. You got another question for Kathy. Kathy, good morning.
Morning.
Would you like a second question?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you either a DVD. I've got enough Pepe's. We'll give you another Pepe's if that's what you want. So, but do you have to answer the question? What's the question?
Okay. Who killed Madero?
I'm guessing Pancho Villa.
Ah, no. Oh. But thank you for trying. Appreciate that. And go to Pepe's anyway, okay?
I will. I think it's one of the best kept secrets down there. It's amazing.
Well, it really is, because you know what it is. I mean, Pepe was one of the cooks and one of the managers of the Griggs restaurant.
And he's a wonderful man.
Oh, he is. And his wife was also part of the establishment of the Griggs. They took the recipes. They bought the recipes as the restaurant closed, and they now have you the same food served there at Pepe. So thank you for playing. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You take care. All right, moving on here. What else we got to do here? Take another break and come back and talk to Dr. David Romo. And by now, the phones are cleared up. We might get Elias back, because I'm sure the trivia just blew him off. But we'll get back to that in a minute. If you want to talk to us, to David Romo, or talk about what happened during the Mexican Revolution or not, just sit there and listen. But if you got to get involved, there's a Facebook page here, El Paso History Radio Show. And didn't we have a question come up yet or not? We're still waiting on that. But across the country, if you're interested, call us up or Facebook us. The 915 gets us on his phone number that Rick's about to tell you.
915-544-5876.
Hi, I'm Russell Stover. If you think you can't afford a new BMW, it's time to think again. We've made it more possible than ever before this month at BMW of El Paso. Drive a new 2016 320i sedan for just $289 a month, or get the new 2016 528i sedan for only $459 a month. Don't miss these incredible offers. See us today at 6318 Montana Avenue or on the web at bmwofelpaso.com. 778-9381. Just call, that's all.
36-month leases, no security deposit. $3,964 and $4,884 due at signing plus DTNL. See dealer website for details.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now, you can try Listen Clear absolutely free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-900-6181. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% free home trial, with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-6181. That's 1-800-900-6181. 1-800-900-6181.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of
the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we've got trivia questions on the brain here we think are coming in. And right now, we're going to tell you about the Day of the Cowboy. It's a thing going on this today from 10 to 5. And where is that thing? It's out at Anthony. It's at Richard C. White Park. And you can go out there right now. Rick, what's going on out there? They started out at 10 o'clock with the ceremonies. Where are they now? Costume?
Well, let's see. Right now, 10:30. Yeah, the costume contest below 10 years old.
And then above, yeah, they're going to have another one there. They've got Cliff Seaman talking and singing at noon.
Yeah, we got Tim Thompson at 11 o'clock till 11:40 doing his little concert there.
They're going to have gunfight reenactment, Six Guns and Shady Ladies, watermelon contest. Now, I think they were going to eat them. I was thinking they should throw them. Think
like
about that.
That,
you know?
I like that idea.
And you don't get a second try in most cases, but yeah, they got all kinds of things going on all afternoon, and they have costume contest, watermeloning we talked about. Also, they're going to have a Loretta and Barbed Wire band out there besides that. A lot going on out there. Take a look at that. Maybe get out there. That's Anthony. I think it's exit zero, isn't it?
I think so.
It's the exit out there that gets down straight to the border highway. And on your way, you run into this park. So there you are. All right. We need to talk about Mexican Revolution because that's what's on the brain here. 100 years ago, David Romo, we had a Mexican Revolution going on. Pancho Villa was escaping into Mexico. Elias was on the phone. And we hope we get him back if he's listening. Elias, the phones are clear now. Call us up. But the thing about the whole Mexican Revolution was they didn't catch Villa, and yet that whole period was a bizarre set of things going on. Villa was just one of them, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. In my own book, 15 years before Pancho Villa was on the scene, there was a revolutionary leader, a woman. And for a long time, you know, women were just kind of excluded from the official history of anything. You know, whenever you talk about the Mexican Revolution in Mexican textbooks, they always focus on Mexico City, as if that's where it happened. And women, of course, are totally invisible from the narrative. And so while I was doing, you know, my research in the basement of the downtown library, the El Paso Downtown Library, I started looking into this young woman, 19-year-old, that will come to El Paso. Thousands of Mexicans from all over the border would hang out in her house.
Time frame?
This is 1896.
Really?
Okay. 15 years before, you know, the Battle of Juarez, pretty much, or what is it? More or less. And I didn't know who she was. So Teresita Urrea turns out to be the kind of like Mexican Joan of Arc. And she has these curanderas, psychic healing abilities, spirituals. People from all over the world are paying attention to her.
Teresita, last name again?
Teresita Urrea.
Urrea.
There's a wonderful book about her called The Hummingbird's Daughter by a good friend of mine, Luis Alberto Urrea. And he says that it's going to be turned into a movie.
It should.
It's just a fascinating story. It happens here in El Paso, a woman curandera. She later, there's three assassination attempts on her life in South El Paso. Porfirio Diaz sent some assassin. They fail. She ends up going to San Francisco, where she's attracting huge crowds, to New York, where according to some of the oral history stories, she wins a beauty queen contest. So this fascinating, fascinating woman that is kind of riling up. She's a co-editor of El Independiente, which is a radical anti-Porfirista newspaper. And it all happens here in the Segundo Barrio. So that's just one example of many kind of forgotten, hidden histories.
Were there other women that jumped on board with her cause as well? Or
You know, she was a particularly kind of prominent woman. So even Mexico City, like today we can Google some of those old newspapers from 1896, you'll find articles in San Francisco about her, in Mexico City. She was like almost like a Mexican telenovela. Wow. Every little move, every word she said made it to the front page.
Because she was a psychic?
Because she was one of the most threatening women to the Porfirista regime in 1896. She was kind of seen as one of the leaders of the Yaqui movement because thousands of Yaquis, when she was in Cabora and Sonora, would come to her for advice.
What was an Adelita?
Well, an Adelita, people say that according to the story, there was one of the soldaderas, these women that would follow the Mexican revolutionaries on the trains, and usually they provided the support, the logistics. You know, they couldn't eat if they weren't there, but some of them took weapons. So the Adelitas were the Mexican, the women soldaderas, very popular song, corrido, named after one of them, La Delita.
Jesucita Chihuahua?
También, you know, there were many women revolutionary leaders that once again, history is slowly recuperating their stories.
Interesting.
We've got
Elias Bonilla back with us. Thank you for putting up with that trivia stuff there, Elias. Pretty appreciate that. How you doing?
Good, good.
Well,
listen, it's very interesting, this trivia thing that you've got going. That's a different twist. That's good.
Well, it stirs people up. But right now we're talking about Teresita Urrea and the fact that she was part of El Paso. Where was she from? Do you remember?
She was from Cabora, Sonora.
So how'd she get, and why'd she come to El Paso?
Fronteriza. Well, because Porfirio Diaz sent some troops. She also had maybe 10,000 people in her home there. Porfirio Diaz was threatened by her, sent some troops. She gets arrested. They couldn't do anything to her because people, the Yaquis especially, and some of the Rarámuri communities would have revolted. So she ended up going north of the border, first to Arizona, and then she comes here in 1896. And she collaborates with one of the precursors of the Bagonista movement, another Flores Magón, and his name was Lauro Aguirre. So he became the co-editor of this radical newspaper.
But was she psychic? I mean, is that the point where people came to her, or what?
You know, there were all kinds of stories that she learned how to heal in terms of her indigenous tradition.
So she's a healer.
She was a healer.
Okay. Yeah.
But she had an epileptic attack when she was a teenager. She went into a coma for 3 days. And when she comes out, people said that she had psychic powers. She could, foretell when there was all kinds of events.
Have you heard the term walk-in?
Walk-in, no.
Another soul? I mean, that could...
Yeah. She had kind
we're
of
not
astral, astral projection. You know, there's all these stories, fascinating stories that I got at Texas Tech in the archives there.
I'll be darned.
Of people that said, yeah, she would come to me, hold my hand at night, and we would fly over Acapulco,
yes,
the pyramids.
You know,
like,
she was doing it.
She had that kind of... So a lot of this is based on kind of indigenous traditions.
Let's talk to Elias about this. Elias, I know you've taken a look at some of this information. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that the women in the revolution have been overlooked. For example, I think that David will agree with this. There was a woman who was involved in the fight at Parral when they chased the American troops back out of that city. And there was a woman called La Huera, who was of German-Mexican parentage, and she led the townspeople into throwing rocks and everything they could, including a few rifle shots, at the retreating Americans. So she's also been glorified in poems and songs, La Huera, from Delisa.
I wanted to
do this while we have an opportunity. David, what is your take? What is your version on Pancho Villa's hideout while Pershing was looking for him?
Absolutely. One of the people that hides him was one of his officers, Nicolás Rodríguez. And they hid in a cave, you're right. He was injured, under terrible pain. He had to be carried. And at one point, he could see the troops, Pershing's troops, nearby, you know, maybe a few hundred meters away. They almost captured him. So there were a lot of German spies on the border. Remember, this is 1916. World War One had already started in 1914. And they were paying close attention, and they were saying, if the Americans can't even capture this one guy, how are they going to capture the Kaiser, right? And so I've been looking at some of the kind of the classified intelligence from that era, and so Pancho Villa all of a sudden becomes part of a bigger story, right? A lot of people say that Pershing's troops go into northern Mexico in search of Villa in order to practice. It was like a practice ground. They wanted to get their logistics down and everything as a preparation in case they were going to enter World War One. And actually, they do 1 year later.
They were testing out all of their toys. I mean, they had the airplanes that they couldn't fly. They had the motorcycles that would hit in potholes.
Absolutely.
They had the cars that would have flat tires. They found that out here So they wouldn't have to worry about finding that out in Germany, I think.
Absolutely. But, you know, Villa and the Villistas knew the terrain inside and out. He was one of the first guerrilleros, right, of the 20th century that was working along the border. He himself also had four airplanes. A lot of people think that Pancho Villa was just this big Frito Bandito type of... He was extremely sophisticated.
Yeah, he had motorcycles.
He had motorcycles that he would buy from El Paso.
Yeah.
He had... his trains were specially equipped for... for foreign journalists to go there with their own typewriters and bathroom. He had contracts with some of the Mutual Film Corporation from New York.
The man was cool.
You know, he was tuned in. He was on top of it.
He was in social media before it was cool.
Absolutely. He was waging a propaganda war, and El Paso was a major spot for that propaganda war.
Let's ask Elias. You have that story about Oscar Liza. I'm dying to hear it. You sort of told it a couple of weeks ago, but if you don't mind, tell us the story about our dear mayor and his ancestors.
All right. I found our present mayor's name of his grandfather. It's exactly the same as his, who was a leading wealthy merchant in the city of Chihuahua during the time that Villa and his troops had laid siege to that city. They were cut off. There were no more munitions and armaments or troops coming up from Mexico City, and they really were in a tough spot. I'm talking about the federal troops, mm-hmm. of which there were about 3,500 under General Mercado. There also was about 1,500 or so Colorados. These were the guys who had turned, quote, against Madero. Right, David?
Right.
And then, this was called the counter-revolution. Mm-hmm. And as we go along, Villa had laid siege to Chihuahua City and was moving in. He went up there himself. As it turns out, the people were terrified. They knew that Villa was going to shoot people and his men were going to tear the town apart, as they usually did whenever the revolutionaries took over a town. They just gutted it. In any event, the merchants under the leadership of one of them, I can't think of his name right now, but that will, he talks General Mercado in taking money and escorting all of the wealthy people up out of Chihuahua City north to Ojinaga, across to Presidio.
Money talks,
this was,
huh?
This was all arranged. It was a bribe. And Mercado took up the townspeople's generosity, and they left. They actually left. Now, they wanted the town to be occupied by Villa, but they wanted it with the least amount of problems. And they didn't want it ransacked or burned to the ground. But they told what the merchants did before they left, they selected two people who would be the ones who would deal with Villa and negotiate with him, turn over the keys to the city, so to speak, and then this would at least safeguard the property. All the good valuable stuff would be gone, of course, but they would not damage the city. And that's where Oscar Lissor, that's his family background. Unless he would deny it, I think he was. His grandfather was a hero.
Where did you find this? Where did you find this information?
I found it in a newspaper story.
I'll be darned. So you think Oscar Mayer in El Paso, Oscar Mayer I call him, is had his grandfather do this deal down there with Pancho Villa 100 years ago, or 80, whatever number of years ago.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I knew...
I think somebody ought to call him and ask him.
Hey, Mayor, if you're listening, 544-5876. Please call us. Well, the interesting... I knew you had that story rummaging around in there, Elias. I thank you for bringing that up with us. It's the same guy. I don't know how many Oscar Leases you could have from Chihuahua, because I believe our current mayor came from Chihuahua. And so there you are. Well... Elias, are you also familiar with what David Roma was talking about here in the studio about the dark period that kind of came over the revolution in El Paso. David, define that if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. 1916 and 1917 were the darkest periods on both sides of the Mexican border. There were all kinds of, basically it was a race war. And unfortunately, you know, this is where we're talking about how we have to learn from history. A lot of the same things that were happening 100 years ago, 1916 and 1917, are kind of making front lines today. Right.
Well, we're better at it now, though, because we can deal with it better, no?
Okay, I guess that's a difference
of
opinion.
Well, better at combating it is my question.
Okay, well, first, I guess we should look at what happens in this year. So, of course, everybody knows about the Columbus Raid. Five days before the Columbus Raid, there is an El Paso fire. It was called the Jail Holocaust in El Paso, in the prison. And basically at that time, because of everything that's going on throughout the border, you have the prisoners stripped completely naked and bathed in a tub full of kerosene and formaldehyde. And while the prisoners are completely soaked in gasoline, somebody strikes a match. It's blamed on the prisoner, one of the prisoners, but it's very unlikely. And 50 people burn, 27 of them die,
yeah.
19 of them were Mexican-American, or Mexican, actually. A lot of them were from Juarez. Some of them are Pancho Villa's friends. And when he is about to attack Columbus, according to one of the Anglo captives of Villa, Sheep Maud Hawk, she hears him say, "We are going to teach Americans how to burn just like they burned in El Paso."
Ah.
So there's all these kinds of stories that are going on. It just a few months ago in Austin, the Bullock Texas State Museum opens up an exhibit about violence on the border during that period, especially in the 1915, 1916, 17. And that's the Texas Rangers and the massacre and lynching of at least minimum 300 ethnic Mexicans in South Texas. At that same year, 1917, you have people in Bisbee, Arizona, deputizing pretty much the same, the whole town, in order to get rid of union workers. And they were IWW people, the Wobblies, and also Mexican union workers. They put more than 1,000 of them in a train, take them out in the middle of the desert and just drop them there, right? So 1917 is when you have the Santa Isabel massacre, where Pancho Villa kills 17 American engineers, Asarco engineers. Yeah. You have the Waco lynchings. You have, so it's just conflagrating. It's like an extremely dark period in history, and most of us have forgotten it. Now, so the question is, should we forget it? You know, is that just kind of a wound? Should we just not discuss race? Or maybe some of the stuff that's going on there kind of helps us understand. And as an historian, of course, that's why I study history.
Oh, yeah.
Because these are powerful kind of stories.
They are. I got so lost in this story, I forgot the commercial break here. Let's do that. Sergio, you ready for that? All right, take a break. Be back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Hey guys, with summer here, want to enjoy more of what you do? Maybe feel less sore after that round of golf or from working outside? If so, ProGene is conducting a national study on the impact of testosterone and will pay you to participate. Go to ProGene77.com to see if you qualify. Here, you can find out your testosterone levels for free while getting paid to do something about it. ProGene
Neurogene, a leading testosterone brand found nationwide at GNC and other stores, is sponsoring this research and will pay you to be a part of the largest survey of men's levels in the country. There are no needles and no office visits. The clinical grade tests are painless and confidential. It's an easy program you can do from home, and everything is shipped to you for free. So if you want to feel more energized and less soreness and pain after a day outside, go to progene77.com now to find out your levels for free. That's the word pro, G-E-N-E, 77.com. progene77.com. Enroll today before the study is closed. So go to progene77.com.
The Rolling Stones, Taylor Swift, The Talking Heads, Katy Perry, and John Lee Hooker. That lineup may not be to everyone's liking, but it is to you. That's why iHeartRadio has My Favorites Radio, a custom station just for you, made up with the songs you've thumbed up from your favorite stations. Check it out at work, iHeartRadio.com. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. iHeartRadio.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. For DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot going on here about the Mexican Revolution. We're going to get through it as soon as we can. In fact, Rick, let's just go straight back to the Mexican Revolution. We got Elias Bonilla on the phone. Elias, you're still there, I presume.
Oh, yes.
Very good. We're going to wrap up Pancho Villa right now. How did the guy get out of the cave? How did he get back on the battlefront? Either one of you.
All right. Well, just quickly, we were talking about how Pancho Villa loved El Paso. This was a city. In 1909, he had come here and he was cleaning rooster cages. That was part of his work. 1913, a complicated story. He ends up being in exile here in El Paso in the first part of 1913. He hangs out, and there's a Burger King now in Paisano and Santa Fe Street that used to be the Emporium Hotel. That was the center of all kinds of espionage. There was a German spy that wants to get some submarine bases with him, and he says, heck no.
Pancho threw him down the stairs.
Exactly. So he ends up living on Prospect Road. And so you hear that it's 510 Prospect. You know, according to a lot of primary sources, it's not 510 Prospect. It's actually like either 512 or 514, because 510 was where Kyrakopoulos lived. And the oral histories say that he lived next door to him. So there's all these stories about Pancho Villa using El Paso as a base. During the 1911 Battle of Juarez, he and Orozco actually end up going downtown to the elite confectionery, and they're hanging out and plotting against Madero's orders how to start attacking the federales over, because Pancho Villa did not drink. He used to love strawberry sodas. He used to eat a pound of peanut brittle at a time.
Ice cream.
They had these chocolate-covered ice cream baseballs. At the elite confectionery.
Right.
Donuts.
I've missed the donut.
You haven't researched donuts.
I haven't researched donuts yet. Okay. But I know that so El Paso was an important base for him. So let's go back to 1916.
He got about a minute in this segment. Otherwise,
he ends up in Chihuahua. They can't find him. The Pershing's troops are forced to come back, and now they're going to have to send their people up to Europe to fight during World War I. So Pancho Villa slowly recuperates his guerrilla forces. He ends up attacking Juarez again in 1919.
Oh boy!
Okay, so this is the third Battle of Juarez. Fort Bliss soldiers cross the border. They chase him down, you know, from El Paso. They go through the Azcárate part of the river.
Well, they put cannons up on what's now Pill Hill and fired into Juarez into the racetrack. Firing cannons into the racetrack.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So they end up pushing him back. Pancho Villa ends up surrendering in 1920, thanks to a doctor from El Paso that intercedes. So in 1923... Pancho Villa is finally killed in Parral.
There we go.
In a Dodge that he bought here in El Paso.
Elias, we're going to have to... Elias, don't go away. After the break, you want to call us back out of California?
Yeah.
If you would, please. Because I want to hear some more stories about you. We're going to get into some other research after the break here. Elias Bonilla on the phone from California. Dr. David Romo here in the house. Rick Kern is the co-host. And Evelyn Casari is looking at Facebook. Talk to her. She's over here looking at Facebook. See what happens there. And Bob, you got a trivia question? Hang on after the break. We'll come to Bob and his trivia question first after the break. What do you say about that? All right. Everybody else, after the news, see you right there.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.